We are going to have a discussion. Almost 1 hour we have. So we have already appointed topic and the sutta, as you all know. Before going to the sutta, if anyone is having more questions or statement or kind of thing, we can take a few minutes. And then we are going to go to the Dvaitanupassana Sutta, as we appointed last time. Today we have Injana as the topic. Before going to that, if you have, please present it.
Sadhanti, we received two Samadhan reports that she provided to Prasandit now.
Yeah.
Okay, the first report, this is from regular walking. In my walking, I first said, the left and right, my walking path has 3 feet of the side, and the rest is wooden. When I walk on the tile floor, it had lines on it. When the lines touched the touching parts of the foot, I could feel the area where the lines touched the skin. When I was focusing on the heel of the foot, I observed the part that I mostly felt. The part I mostly felt was the middle of the heel. Then I focused on the middle of the heel, and my attention went to the ball of the foot. Then I focused on the part of the ball that I mostly felt, and that was the middle part of the ball. Then my attention went to the toes, and I felt the same. I kept focusing on this until I got the toes. After I realized I was in the toes, my attention came back to the walking, and I kept focusing on the part that were touching the ground till the tailwind. Today I did 35 minutes of mindful walking. Sitting. In my sitting, I first felt the posture. In the posture, I felt my feet vibrating and the blood circulating through the body. Then I observed the upper part of the body. I felt the eyes were closed, neck was like bender, hips touching together, toes touching the skin, and the hands touching together. Then I observed the lower part of the body. I felt the hand touching the skin. The legs were crossed and the bottom was touching the cushion. I focused on this for about 10 minutes. Then I started to feel the breath. I felt my breath and my out-breath. I felt in-breath going up the nostril and the out-breath going down the nostril. After a few minutes, I noticed I could feel the start, middle and end of the in-breath and out-breath. I kept focusing on this for about 10 minutes. Then my attention shifted to the rising and falling of my tongue. First tongue rise was thick and the second rise was small. On the first fall, it was also big, and on the second fall, it was small. I kept focusing on the changes of the rise and fall for 10 minutes, and then my attention shifted to breath again and then to my tongue. This cycle happened for a few minutes more times until I started to get bored. With the boredom, I also started to get pain. Then I focused on the pain, it disappeared, and then I started getting thoughts. When I focused on the thoughts, it disappeared too. But after some time, I started getting thoughts again. This kept happening again and again, and I focused on this till the bell rang. Today I did 1 hour mindful sitting. Dear Mahadev, could you please give me your valuable advice to improve my practice? Natula, 8 years old. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
So it's a great from an 8-year-old boy, and definitely in time to come you will learn how to present this in a short way. Now short sentences, very beautiful, but the report is longer. Same thing, you will continue and report equally regularly, and gradually you will learn how to present them in a shortened form. I have no remarks for the meditation. They are happening very well. Good.
By the second report, that was a long report, one day. Dear most venerable sir, I have been meditating for a very long time, but since following this retreat from April last year, my meditation became more powerful and meaningful. Though I did sitting meditation every day for so many years, only now I do the walking meditation in equal amount of time, really better, 45 minutes on each exercise. First, I do the walking meditation. I do it in my living room, starting from the patio door end, and say to myself, I am here, now I am starting my walking meditation. Then I walk 24 steps towards the other end of the room and came near the window. During the winter, this experience was peaceful, and now it is summertime. Every time I see the outside garden, I notice all the activity in the garden, within the various flowers, birds, etc. I realize that the winter, as there is no activity in the garden, is easy to keep my mind in the meditative object, which is my walking and the feeling I get while I am doing it. But last week it was impossible to keep my mind in the meditation. Every few steps it started running away to all sorts of things that I need to do in the garden and thinking of the various flowers, etc. So it's like taking a toddler for a walk who runs away to every distraction he sees. My mind was all over the place. I can't even work out if they were prapancha or imagination. Dear Reverend Sir, what is the difference between prapancha and imagination? It was very tiring by the time I came to my city meditation, so I decided to change tactics. I brought my gaze close to the floor, and on one way I focused on facing the floor. I noticed I placed the heel first and then the outside.
Okay, enough. Enough, Ari. So this is the way when you are practicing regularly, you see sometimes meditation is okay according to your vocabulary, sometimes it is not. So that is what now you are going to understand, whether it's good or bad, do it in a regular way, then you will develop the maturity. Otherwise you will be result-oriented and definitely desperate. But whenever it is distracted, still if you are doing, there's a kind of a stamina, kind of a strength. You do in a regular way, that's the way the personality is developing. So long report indicates you are not given up. It's good. This is what happens. Even the most senior meditators, sometimes everything bankruptcy. They never give up. That is why they become monks. That's why they declare. We have nothing to do, this only thing. So make up that mind and give a chance to the good meditation as well as the bad meditation equally, and that is not in books. That you have to assimilate your own path, that is we call Samma, that is a wider path. So please get encouraged and continue in a regular way and write short reports, then we can welcome.
Thank you, Vandit.
Okay, now we are then going to go to today's discussion, today's topic. I would like to invite Venerable Buddharakhita to present the phrase to start the discussion.
So this is the 12th in the pair of reflections that the Buddha is giving us in this Dvaitana Nupassana Sutta.
Dvaitanupassana.
And it's on what Bhikkhu Bodhi here translates as agitation. If bhikkhus, there are those who ask, could there be correct contemplation of dyads in some other way? You should answer them thus, there could be, and how could there be? Whatever suffering originates is all conditioned by agitation. This is one contemplation. With the remainderless fading away and cessation of agitation, there is no origination of suffering. This is a second contemplation. When a bhikkhu dwells thus, correctly contemplating a dyad, heedful, ardent, and resolute, one of two fruits is to be expected of him. Either final knowledge in this very life, or if there is a residue remaining, the state of non-returning. This is what the Blessed One said. Having said this, the Fortunate One, the Teacher, further said this. Whatever suffering originates is all conditioned by agitation. With the cessation of agitation, there is no origination of suffering. Having known this danger, suffering is conditioned by agitation. Therefore, having given up impulse, having put a stop to volitional activities, without impulse, without clinging, a bhikkhu should wander mindfully. So in this sutta, we're focusing on this quality of the mind to become agitated. So this is referring to the quality of the mind where the mind is moved, it is stirred, it is disturbed, it is an agitation that is due to craving or conceit or views or kama defilements. So we experience this as like restlessness, as like an inability to calm the mind, a perturbance. Sorry, a technical problem there. So coming back to this meaning of this word that we're focused on today is agitation. Agitation is the movement or stirring of the mind. It is, the mind is disturbed, and this agitation or movement of the mind is caused by craving, conceit, views, or karmic defilements. So this is we experience this in daily life, where we are restless, and we respond to that restlessness by hopping around, for instance, moving from one task to another task. Sometimes people will say that, oh, I'm multitasking. But you can see the difference between some people who are very focused and concentrated at work and people who are restless and can never relax. You know, if they're sitting down to watch a TV show or something like that, they have to jump up and do something else and go hither and thither and do this and do that and go here and go there. And you ask them, you know, how are you? And, oh, I'm busy. So this expression busyness is a way of indicating conceitedness. You know, I'm so important, I'm so busy. But in reality, the person is restless. And they cannot kind of stay calm and relaxed and to the point and purposeful. And again, we run into this kind of quality of the mind again in meditation. And it's a major obstacle after the meditator can overcome the initial challenges of, you know, sort of distractions by sense pleasures and so forth. When they calm down in a meditation center, then they will come into sloth and torpor on the one hand and restlessness and remorse on the other hand. So this restlessness is described as being like a fish taken out of water and on the bank of the river, and it's flapping around. So the quality of this mind to flap around, to vacillate, to be perturbed. So the opposite of this kind of quality of mind is to be able to have a calm, serene, concentrated mind. So this is described as being imperturbable, or not perturbed, not agitated. So obviously the Buddha lays out these deeper and deeper states of mind, particularly jhanas, rupa jhanas, and then arupa jhanas. And in the arupa jhanas, he describes one jhana as being imperturbable. And he praises this state highly and also warns us to not be attached to this state. Because again, that's the other fault, is one becomes stuck. So the quality of an arahant is one who has a mind that isn't fluttering or blown around. And whereas for everybody else, pretty much we have this kind of quality of mind that is restless. In fact, even the anagamis, such a highly developed mind, the mind of an anagami, is still described as having some restlessness. So the distinguishments between an arahant and an anagami is that the arahant is free from restlessness. Although I must say it must be a very sort of subtle quality of the mind between an anagami and an arahant at that level of restlessness. But it also goes to show how challenging this defilement or this quality of the mind is to train. So sometimes we have to be very compassionate with ourselves, that restlessness is a profound quality, and we will meet it in our practice in daily life and in especially on the on the cushion. And we need to deal with this with great skill, with great compassion, with great wisdom, and with great diligence. So restlessness is a profound challenge for us in daily life and also in the practice itself. Maybe I'll just turn over to Venerable Dhammajiva for a moment.
It's of course somewhat very subtle when we compare it with the defilements or any other our religious practices. Injana is equal terms are given, injati, kampati, chalati. They are very, in detail, these three used by Venerable Sariputta explaining the wandering mind. Whenever mind is going along the primary object, they are no injana, chanchala, kampana. That means they are not jumping out, not eccentric, just in a laminal flow. Just go with the flow. Just go with the time. It can jump out of the laminal flow, centric, centralized mindset, either time dimension, past and future jumping up and down. Or here and there difference, geographically. These are the only two dimensions we have in the mind, my space and time. So when the time-wise we are not here, we call injana, we call perturbed, we call eccentric. Not here, thinking about another place, that we say it is abnormal, eccentric. And third dimension is me and not me, others. That is also possible in the married people, socialized people. They are thinking about the living on others' eyes. So, mama, then, mitana, here, now, I am, is considered as unperturbed or laminal flow. The laminal flow is the best for an aeroplane to have aerodynamics. If the flow is disturbed, the plane knows how to take the aerodynamics and the balancing under certain conditions. But in the fireball situation, they can't. They completely lost it. That is what happened maybe in the Bermuda Triangle. They can't maintain the aerodynamics. So still they have not found. But they have found in Australia. They have found in Perth. They have found the fireball experiments are happening in conspiracy theory. They say 1,000 tests they have done. 100 reported and plane disappeared. So yogi also must have a macro climate, unperturbed. Otherwise very difficult for yogi to maintain the aerodynamics. That's why the Buddha says, Aranyagatova, Rukhamulagatova, Sunyagaragatova. So this is the place Buddha says, not touched by human. Please listen. Aranya, Rukhamula, Sunyagara, the human touch is a perturbs. It's distraction. That is what I call civilization is utter artificial distraction. They are interpreting terms. You must be this and that. They bloody fool. They don't know what is the unperturbed mind is. And they are the one going to interpret terms. Instead, if you go to the forest, it's a forest dhamma. Everything is happening in their own accord. And we can say it is a laminal flow. It's a unperturbed flow. In the perturbed flow, whirlpools can happen. Cyclones can happen. But normal flow, we call water power and hydropower. Water power, you can't have electricity. But hydropower, once you control and get the head difference, an equal amount of current you can get because your flow is predictable. It is usable, then hydropower can happen. So likewise, a human being is a huge amount of power source and they are distracted. This is called split mind. Krishnamurti used to say, our mind is already split. Left brain, right brain, system approach, and the pixel or system, me and not me. So when that happened, very difficult within one person, within the skull, two, three people living. So agitation and perturbs can happen. The best term I found in the Tripitaka is ekarasa. That means saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, panya. I hope you know. Faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration and wisdom. Everything is concentrated to one point. That is called one-pointedness. That's called ekarasa. Then human being going to start superhuman powers. Because everything is focused. When they are fighting each other, we call in a Tipitaka, we accept in a literal way 32 mental concomitants. They are fighting each other. Like a 52 children in the classroom. But when everyone is directed to one, what a discipline. That is called aninja, no injana, no perturbance, no distractions, but very rare. Very rare. So the Buddha in the Aninja Sappaya Sutta, he gives how that can be achieved. I recommend everyone you to read this Aninja Sappaya Sutta. You can get it's a long treatment. Described with the social sensuous pleasure. Person with the sensuous pleasure, household is the worst thing. Perturbing your eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, and people, and everything. So understanding that, there's no place. So he, understanding that this is not for this life as well as the future life. And then if whenever you go to the forest, when you go to the under a tree or a solitude place, you find even the kami or the sensuous pleasure is not there. Their perception is appearing as five hindrances and it is more than disturbing you than you are at home. Soon you renounce, mind become bewildered, just like a fish out of water or wild buffalo out of wilderness. So that you have to understand when you are going to tackle with perturbance, distractions, or vacillation, or fighting, more that kind of thing happen. So that's a very good indication your thing is working. And imagine, I am making a short story, long story short, imagine one person knows how to overcome five nivaranas. Some or the other, you keep the mind with your appointed object. For that, the Buddha says you must have a materiality, either breath, or walking, so only you can pivotal point of the rupa, you can get rid of perception of karma. Karma is replaced by perception of karma or sensuous pleasure. That is being replaced by the rupa. So that is what we are doing. Whenever rupa is achieved, that you know you are in the breath, and you know few breath I can go there, then we can say everything concentrated. There you have rupa perturbance. Not karma sanya, and then Buddha says replace it with arupa, that means absence of rupa, and then he take four arupa jhanas, and ultimately he comes whether I am living or not. He says when you go to the arupa jhana, no chassa no cha mesiya, I am not accumulating something. I am completely mentally, physically, and verbally silent. I am not suffering from the past or the future, and you know. So it's a huge equilibrium. Very difficult to achieve because whole world is a perturbance. Civilization is the worst perturbance. And the Venerable Ananda is asking a question, Bhante, when someone is coming to that level, neva sanya, na sanya, neither perception nor no perception. There are things, but they are dreams. There are things, it's a drama. There are things, it is just perception. Is he destined Nibbana? Buddha says no. Still, there is uncertainty. Venerable Ananda says in this sutta, Bhante, after achieving so much of highest grade, whether things are there, they are just perception. They are just a dream. They are just a drama. It's a leela. So still he is not assured with the Nibbana. Buddha says that is because he may have attachment for that kind of arupa jhana. I am the person who only got it. I came with a lot of friends. Other friends lost and they have no. I achieved. So you may have kind of an attachment for subtle, unperturbed, undistracted situation that itself is a distraction. That's why even the anagami happens, uddhacha is there. Ruparaga, aruparaga, mana, uddhacha. Uddhacha means he has to become arahant. So future plan is called Uddhacha. Each and every child in the school have been completely perturbed by introducing a hope, introducing a plan. That is what you call the education. So children is utterly in a grip. Parents are pushing, teachers are pushing, society is pushing. If you are not educated, parents will be have to go to jail. Child has to go into jail. So they are giving. So the theory is called motivational theory. Whole world is motivating us. Motivation is called sankhara. Motivation is called volitional activity. They call will. And as far as the will and volitional activities are there, perturbance are there, yuddhacha is there, that means future planning, and so much so, but you can understand, I had earlier a whole world full of tension, now perception, only the perception full of tension, and then my primary object full of tension, and that is also replaced by arupa, that full of tension. So you can understand the gross tension is replaced by little tension. That has been the subtlest tension. And then you come up to that level, you can understand that bloody thing, that little traces also can do the same mistake. So therefore, develop detachment to the neva sanya na sanya ayatana. Neither perception nor perception. And then Buddha says, you can, if you are skillful, you can develop such a thing even into the karma. You can live in the karma world, but still detached. Or you can live in karma sanya world, in the monastic life, with nivarana, still you are not carried away. And then you can go to the rupa world, you know I can live in the breath, or I can live in the left and the right, but not attached, not perturbed. And then you can go to the arupa world, but whatever may be, quick with people, can do even with karma, but other people, the pathway is to go to karma replaced by karma sanya replaced by rupa replaced by rupa sanya, and rupa sanya is going, and there you have to keep an eye as far as there is a plan, as far as there is a motivation, perturbance are there, engine are there, but you know this engine, the perturbance, distractions are less and less. That is the most difficult thing for you to understand. Whether you become mature, whether you become go to the more subtle states, you can't trace it. You can't completely understand. You're always complaining about the disturbances, perturbance. So much so you may are making a news. But if you gear your mind to in the perturbed world, how to live balance, how to find the equilibrium, every place is the same. So therefore, Injana is a very subtle point, and Ananja is the opposite of Injana. Ananja Samapatti is called Arahant's Pala Samapatti. That is called Ananja Samapatti, no perturbance. One day, the Buddha had 500 disciples. They were from the fishing families. They were shouting. One day, they wanted to come and pay respect to the Buddha. Buddha asked the leader, get out. Don't come here because you are fishing market-like. So ultimately the leader pacified them and go to another place and practice. He says that is the best way to get the phrase of the Buddha. And ultimately all 500 become arahants. Then the Buddha asked Venerable Ananda, hey Ananda, I can see a light in this direction. I think these 500 people, monks, are they are now living in a very good way. Would you mind to go there and invite them, ask them to come here and pay respect to Buddha? Buddha is waiting. So when they are coming, Buddha is Ananja Samapatti, unshaken, living under a tree. And they come very slowly because last time they came shouting and chase away. They came and they also went into the same Samapatti. Ananja Samapatti. Venerable Ananda is fully disturbed, perturbed. They are invited and Buddha is not talking. Then he goes and says, Bhante, that the invited people came. Buddha is just listening. Second time also. Third time the Buddha says, Ananda, you are the only perturbed person. They are also in the Ananja Samapatti. I am also in the Ananja Samapatti. That is what my reprimand is. They got the message. So that is what the Buddha says. So Mahayana tradition sometimes highlighting this. Talking banner, giving Dhamma talk is a perturbance. Silent sermon is better. You give a silent, but you see, what a quick wit you must have to have a silent sermon, to understand the behavioral pattern, to understand the emotional literacy. So present day, everything is the teaching material and all the kind of things, they are utter shit. But the message is mind to mind. That sometimes we call telepathic. So when that happens, people think they must have the highest army, highest weapon, highest walls, water barriers, all nonsense, because your mind is so powerful. When the mind becomes concentrated, when the mind becomes like a thunderbolt, mind become once ekarasa come, just like a beehive come and everything come to the hive, like that. So that is not taught in the schools now, not in the army. Not in the 500 fortune companies. They are agitating. Government policies are agitating. Health science is agitating. Law is agitating. Politics are agitating. Monetary system is agitating. Through these five detrimental terms. So Buddha says, never mind, let them send kites. You go under a tree and sit and see how much you hate unagitated mind. Unagitated mind is what I call boredom, monotonous, fearful. You feel like lost. You feel like excommunicated. So mentally upset people go mad. Physically upset people go mad. So to cater for this Anija Samapati, you must physically and mentally fully balance and fully prepared. But Buddhism also accept, the science also accept the quantum physics. We have the potential. We have the capacity. But our method is outwardly. So come inward, that's called insight meditation. You come there and you will run away telling that you have seen a ghost. Whenever the mind becomes calm and collected and centered into the present moment. That can happen even in the fish market. That's why the Sarathustra says, so therefore, never mind. As a beginner, you must have a conducive condition. That is why you go to the forest and kind of thing. But whenever you go out, you see that how much people making noise, how much agitation. Sometimes you also may do it. But if you know, this is a defilement. This is a sickness. This is a psychiatric situation. As you mentioned, while looking at the television also, children jumping up and down in the cushions, they can't stay. The Buddha asked the one of the disciple, he claimed that my teacher is so and so and blah, 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 blah. Then Buddha says, how many hours he can sit alone without jerking? Whole day? No. Half a day? No. 6 hours? No. 3 hours? No. 1.5 hours? I can do it. Buddha started 7 days. And Buddha says, I can stay without perturbance 6 days, 7 days. That is Anija Samapatti or Thanya Vedita Nirodha. Almost you are like a carcass, almost like a rock pillar. And central nerve is only working. All the other things are completely frozen. So 7 days you can live. So this completely lost in Theravada tradition. We appreciate Nirodha Samadhi. This is no. Nowadays it is impossible. It will happen in the next Buddha Sasana. Only the next Buddha would do. You are not qualified. You can't do it. But Buddha never undergrade you. His possibility is there. Imagine one thought moment of not making wish, not making a sound, not making your bodily movements, and appreciating my mind, my body, and my verbs are still. Then you will listen sound of silence. You will understand who am I. You will understand inwardness or insight. So that is being highly appreciated and listened, but this is not in this Buddha Sasana. You must have to have perfections and kind of, the next Buddha Sasana can happen. But you won't believe, in Satipatthasala, even the 4-year children, 8-year children, they report, I can stay 8 breaths, I can be 8 seconds, or 8 minutes, stand still. Or definitely I can walk so much of steps like. So these are the things we have to appreciate, then complete relaxation happened. And he feel like a mother's milk, that time only mind and the knowledge get nourished. So therefore Ananja is not engine, not perturbance, it's a laminal flow. So distractions are the mental and physical illness. And nowadays psychiatrists, they really understand the how the psychiatric imbalances can happen. Because they are living in the towns. Completely agitated world. And they have the fear to go to the forest. Those who go to the forest, they consider psychiatric cases. That's why my elder brother told me that I am psychiatrically upset, that's why I am going to be a monk. So to that world only I am talking now. So therefore I would say, practice it, but don't let others know about that. Then only you will get disturbed. So you practice silent sermon, normally you give a sermon, normally you give the meditation instruction kind of thing, and mind your own business. So that is my contribution, sir.
Okay, so I wanted to, just mention about when I was in Burma, I was at my Abhidhamma class in Yangon at the ITBMU where I was studying. My Abhidhamma teacher had, he had been a chemistry professor and his wife had developed cancer. And at that time in Burma, there wasn't very good treatment for cancer. So they decided to go to a meditation master in the Mahasi lineage. And he lived in Mon state where they were originally from. And he was an expert in treating or dealing with yogis who had illness, and he had this ability of that he had ordained late in life, and when he ordained he was very sick with wind disease, vata, and he overcame his illness, and that's why he became this kind of famous teacher. He could teach other people how to overcome illness through meditation. And many people would go to him with various ailments and conditions, and he would teach them how to practice accordingly. But he had a tremendous ability to be able to sit. He could sit for 24 hours, stand for 24 hours, or do lying down meditation for 24 hours. So he had this tremendous determination in some ways to sit very long periods and stand and walk, and in this way he could maybe see in detail any disturbance going on in his body, because as I mentioned earlier on, the agitation that we're discussing in this case arises because of various different causes and conditions, such as craving, conceit, views, or kamma itself. And we can see here, linking back to last week's discussion around nutriment and how we can be influenced by nutriment, or that we can be influenced by the elements, or we can be influenced by our past karmas. And these have consequences in this very life, in this time. And we encounter these things when we come to meditation. So sometimes we're having agitation, we're having movement in our practice, and it is arising because of the conditions like we outlined last week. Kamma, citta, utu, and Dhammajiva likes to emphasize pasa, so does Ajahn Brahm. And I mentioned last week kamma, citta, utu, ahara, because I've been one of those yogis that have had a kind of chronic illness when I've had meditation. And I've had to deal with the consequences of my kamma, and then also this utu and ahara having a lot of influence in my practice, causing disturbance and movement and agitation and vata and pitta, and having Ayurvedic doctors and having to manage my diet and having to be very careful where I sit and not having fans blowing on me and all this kind of thing. And it's not something you can just overcome by mentally gritting it out, or you have to become very skillful at processing the agitation that's arising in the mind and bringing it to a peacefulness, to a quiescence. And one of the ways is, as the Buddha mentions in the Majjhima Nikaya 106, which is this Aninja, how do I say it?
Aninja Sappaya.
Aninja Sappaya Sutta, the imperturbable sutta, or the way to the imperturbable. And the sentence in this that catches my mind is, suppose I were to abide with a mind abundant and exalted, having transcended the world and made a firm determination with my mind. So this idea of having an abundant mind, so that this is enough, I am enough, and even if I am perturbed by the kamma, the citta, the utu, ahara, then I will strive to have a mind that is abundant, that this is enough, and that I will exalt this lofty language here, but that I will transcend the world and make a firm determination with my mind. So whenever I encounter difficulties in my practice, I remind myself to be patient. I remind myself to be that I'm human, and I remind myself that I am subject to these causes and conditions. And all I can really do at best is manage them. And I can't control them, but I will strive to improve my situation. I will try to be skillful in what I eat and what medicines I take, in my exercise and my, like I said, the conditions in which I practice. So, you know, I've experienced other meditators who are, they don't have this burden. You know, they have maybe good health, or they have excellent flexibility. They can sit perfectly cross-legged. You know, I one of my family members could sit for like 4 hours, no pain, no problem, has perfect posture. But if you ask how are they in their mind, their wandering mind, they have this physical stillness, but not the mental concomitant going with that. Whereas I can be very disturbed physically, like where, you know, it's just like a storm of wind, vata, blowing through my body, you know, where I'm really in stiffness and in pain at times. But to me, I've learned through meditation, this can be very fascinating. So, you know, it's that other sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya, the two darts. You can be in physical discomfort, but not mental, you know. You can actually find it interesting, or it becomes fascinating, the elements blowing around within one's body. And so when I meet the Ayurvedic doctors or the Chinese doctors and they're talking about the elements, then I understand, this season. And sometimes I talk with Venerable Dhammajiva. He's quite tuned into the factors here in the agriculture, the seasons, the weather, the climate. And I'm not just talking to him about this like a farmer is talking about it, you know, when is a good time to plant, when is a good time to harvest. But I'm talking about it as a yogi who is appreciating how the kamma, citta, utu, and ahara is blowing through my experience, my body, my life. And it becomes like a Dhamma then. It becomes knowledge and information. So perturbance in its own right is not a problem. I mean, it's a phenomena. It exists. Just as we mentioned earlier on about the fisher folk who came and were disturbing in the monastery with the Buddha. You know, it that was their karma. That was their nature. That was their conditioning. And when they went to practice, they had to learn to not react to it, and not to start to manage it. Again, yesterday, Venerable Dhammajiva was talking to me about how there was these emergency, special emergency personnel who came to learn meditation from him, and they're like an emergency team, you know. And I have a friend who's also in the fire brigade, and he was saying that they're a response team, not a reaction team, you know. So whenever there's a car crash, like most of us, when we see a car crash on the road, we are reacting to the car crash, whereas these trained emergency response people are responding to the situation. So in life, are we going to be, how do we deal with our perturbance? How do we deal with our agitation? Because all of this agitation is going to naturally arise, just like when the wind is blowing through the leaves become so-called agitated. But is the mind getting agitated by the agitation? And if we can uncouple this, and separate the mind from the kamma, from the utu, from the ahara, then we have some chance to respond to our situation and learn from it and be informed by it. So when I read these in the suttas and the texts about the elements, the four elements and so on, and how there are these different mental factors in the mind, I see all of those now as dhammas. You know, these are informing my mind, and I watch them and I learn from them. And every season that's happening here, my mind is interested in the season. Even though I'm in the forest here and it's a tropical place, so the seasons are not obvious, they're subtle. And how they change, and how the body is responding to the different parts of the season, and how different, you know, health problems will arise accordingly, and how the diet has to change accordingly. You know, otherwise you might fool yourself and think it's the same most of the time here, and it isn't. It's constantly changing, very dynamic. Even across the day, it's dynamic. And we need to adjust accordingly. Whereas when people are not responding and not, you know, bringing this intelligence of the mind to the agitation, to the movement, to the stirrings that are happening, then on the other hand, they're like a stone and ignorant and you know, the phrase that we use is cheto vimutti, you know, so the mind can be freed. But there's another aspect of the mind is where it becomes like a pillar or a stone, that it is immovable and imperturbable. And that's a good quality. But another meaning of that same immovable, imperturbable mind is that one is stubborn and a blockhead, you know. So we need to be kind of careful that our immovability is not because we're a mule or we're stubborn. It's because we have insight and we have wisdom that we're bringing to the situation. Or on the other hand, we're not like, as Venerable Dhammajiva was talking about, we're stuck in kind of like a deep state of peacefulness, and we're not disturbed in that way, meaning we deny that there's any movement. We're sort of ignorant of it, and we don't like our pleasure to be upset by something, so we ignore it. And so this is the middle way that we need to walk if we are practicing in the Vipassana way, in the Vipassana tradition, is whatever agitation is happening is in fact has the opportunity to become insight and wisdom and knowledge.
Two remarks by listening. As you mentioned, there's a book for the Mahasi Center, Dhamma Therapy. Whatever the disease you have, and if you keep the mind and this is noting, all the diseases will be answered. Best medicine is the unperturbed mind. So Dhamma Therapy is a revolutionary thing. World over, all over the world they collected, and we have the book. And the famous, the world-renowned person is Goenkaji. He had the headache. So he was a BD. He is a cloth merchant and went everywhere. He is born in Burma, but is Indian origin or something like that. So both the countries are famous. One day he went to the meditation center telling it is healing. But 27 people went there. He is the only person meditation did not work. All the others got the meditation and teacher says yes. But he went on. Ultimately, he see the end of headache. Now he is the world-renowned teacher. Of course, he passed away recently. And that is the way he says perturbance is a norm. It's a omen. It's a kind of a object for you to understand that indicates who you are. Your perturbance indicates who you are to the outside people and to you. Outside people read something different. You may read something different, but when your mindfulness comes, both become equal. Venerable Sariputta gave a very classic example related to your situation. Some are mentally upset and physically calm. Some are physically calm, upset and mentally calm. He says he is the best out next to the Buddha for the loving kindness. He says if someone is calm mentally, physically and verbally, don't leave him even he chase you out. That's the first and foremost. If the teacher is such, if the place is such, they may say, be a houseful, get out. He says, please, 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 be understand that after coming to this place and you, I am calming down. So please let me have. But some people are mentally, physically very calm, verbally very good, but very arrogant in the physical way. He says, under such circumstances, if you wish to develop loving kindness, he says, yes, yes, this person is very arrogant physically, but words you see, the mentality you see, calm and quiet person, don't worry about, don't look at his physical part, just see the mental and the verbal part, and you have enough rooms for you to be mindful. For you to be loving kind. And some people verbally harsh, but physically calm, and mental setup also calm. Okay, he is. Then don't look at, don't listen to him. Just see. Well, it's a calm person. Mentally also you can tell him, but don't take into your heat. And some people mentally, physically very calm, but mind-wise is always planning others, suffering and all the kind of thing. I mean, that is the first day present day. Politicians, you see. Oh, present day media people. Very calm. They are talking about the world peace and bloody fools. And they are always perturbing. And under the, for them, you have to understand, never mind. Physically, they are talking something good. That doing and talking. And mentally upset. Look at their deeds. And the words, don't worry about the mental situation. Then he said, there are some people physically, verbally and mentally all agitated. There's no room for you to develop loving kindness. He gave for each and everyone, he gave example. And he says, then I will tell you, you are traveling in a desert. No water. No clean water. And all the water sources are gone. But there are some hoof markings where the cow's gone, and in the hoofs, the dips, there are some water accumulated. So you can't scoop it out. What you have to do? You have to go down with all the four limbs and keep them out and suck the water what is available. Otherwise, you are going to dehydrate. So likewise, they are physically wrong, mentally wrong, verbally wrong. Never mind. You must be kindful. You must be metta. So therefore, when we are practicing only, we can see what is the physicality, what is the verbal atmosphere, what is the mental atmosphere. Otherwise, how the other people can understand? You have to understand. For that, metta is good. Metta is the something, if I am to put to Pandita Sayadaw's idea, you are calm, external situation is very abrasive. Then you have to apply little oil, then it works smoothly. That oil is called sineha, that is metta. He says, take two papers and rub it each other, noisy. But put little oil, they are no more noisy. So like us, you apply metta to the how to work with agitated people, perturbed people, but you are not agitated, put little metta. Then household's peaceness, peace, office peace can happen. You are the peacemaker. Don't try to stop them. Just apply little oil or grease or Vaseline, something like that, then they will happen. But meanwhile, develop metta and try to understand. Don't expect the external world, kamma chitta utuhara, to be conducive. You must try, you must know how to maintain the ship in the disturbed water. It's upstream. It is upstream. It is against the grain. So therefore you have to understand never, never kamma chitta utu ahara will be conducive. Always they are disturbing. But you must have tried to know the kabalinkara ahara, pasa ahara, whenever they touch, they will come into being only, they will become a problem. Have a least amount of touch. And then mano sanchetanahara, don't apply liking and disliking. Just face them as a rock. And then mentally, vinyana, don't try to understand me and not me at the vinyana level, not at the ahara level. Then you can understand the Buddha became in India. And India is such a varietal entertainment country. He never go to Rome. At that time in the Rome, it was highly civilized world. Of course, it is gay and all the sexual games were there, but highly civilized. 1,000 years before. But he appeared in India and he became enlightened. But his father-in-law completely hating him. He's sleeping against the road. Well, he is not perturbed. And he married his daughter, and daughter manageable, wife, the son manageable, father manageable. He tried. So likewise, you must understand how to find the equilibrium. So therefore, each and every disease, each and every mental disease indicate who you are. And if you think the accept adjusting the world, of course, yes. When the nursery level, yes, you have to give the nursery plants, the humidity, the shadow, and the water, and everything. But once they plant in the mainland, you have to adopt. So therefore, Vipassana meditation centers, they are not much worried about the conducive conditions. Of course, they are prepared just like Samatha Center to have concentration. Therefore, Pandita Sayadaw says that don't say not to speak. Speak shorter. Short to the point. To pure. You have to talk. Talk to the point, but no proliferation. No wording, too much of words. Just still. That we can do. When Jnanarama says, when you go to the Vihara, don't talk. If you need a box of matches, please ask. You have to definitely answer. But it's a utility. If someone says, is the tomorrow is a poi day, you have to answer. You have to say yes or no. But it is not a perturbance. It's a purpose. But usually don't talk. So likewise, whenever Sariputta says, even the other person is perturbed, just see three ways are there. Which way is perturbed? Physically, and then see the mental and verbal and be mindful or be kindful. So this is an art, never a science. It is never a science. We can't develop theories. But then and there you have to adopt, and your development, you can see how much the tolerance, how much the resilience, how much the proprioception, how quickly you can come back to your position, your posture, and interoception. Quickly you can understand, I am thirsty, I am hungry, I have to go to the toilet. These signals must be there, whatever the serious thing happen. Otherwise, unwanted diseases are happening. Therefore, loving kindness is a must. But don't expect the world to be conducive. It will never happen. But you must understand how to ride the wave, how to be on the ball, how to go against the current. And we are fairly successful in that sense. Otherwise, by now, we would have died. The corona case, economical depression, and verbal global warming, and pollution, internal and external. We are not serious peacemakers. We are not going to give talks about the not to disturb the world, but we are not disturbing. So therefore, we have achieved. Only thing is, have this role model, continue to have, so that I hope it will be a silent sermon. Okay, now I think that we have to stop for the Pindapata sake. So we will stop at that level, and we can proceed in the next day with the Dvaitanupassana Sutta. It's a very, very challenging sutta, very varietal entertainment. Thank you very much for the participation. Kamami kamitabbang.